Sports. Wine. Life. This is the Macko and Cos podcast.
Welcome, everyone, to the Macko and Cos podcast. I'm Matt Cos, and I can tell you it's not Bob. The main difference between Bob and the person who I'm interviewing, she drove here, as opposed to Bob, who still doesn't have his license. From SportsCenter, TSN, Lindsay Hamilton. Lindsay, thank you so much for doing the pod.
Thanks for having me. I'm really excited to be here. Yeah. I also apologize because I am still in my tennis gear.
That's okay.
I didn't have time to shower, but I don't think I'm that smelly.
Okay.
See, although you are sitting a ways away from me, so maybe I am.
But we were in your car together because I had to get you into this building.
Yes.
And there was no smell.
I did have all the windows open on purpose.
That's true. So sometime between now, and this is like 45-minute or so podcast, we'll have to wait and see what it's like by the end.
Although it's a lot colder outside today than it has been in the last few weeks.
If this was like 2 days ago and you came in,
I would have definitely showered for you then.
Yeah. So wait a minute, because I have this whole, and I sent you a list of topics I want to get
to. You did, yes.
But you're going from here up to SportsCenter, right?
So I contemplated going back to my apartment because the shower needs to happen.
Yeah.
I also thought, will today be the day I have my first shower at SportsCenter?
And?
I don't know. I've heard mixed reviews about these showers because I know there are showers at SportsCenter.
Yeah.
Some people have expressed they can be a little strange. James Duthie is one of them. On his podcast, he told a very awkward story about the showers. So I don't know if I want to explore that today and do the shower. I didn't bring any shower shoes.
Yeah.
Which is also something I regret.
Yeah.
But today could be the best time to try it.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, maybe.
I will say.
I will shower before I go on air. How's that? That's a promise I make to all of the viewers.
Well,
I will shower before.
Well, more promise to your broadcast partner. Who are you doing SportsCenter with tonight?
Tonight's Nabil. Yeah. Okay, also so to him.
Nabil's the main one. The people at home, it really doesn't matter as much.
Yeah, they don't really know.
No, they don't really know unless they listen to this pod before the 11 o'clock SportsCenter. And then that's their fun little game.
Yeah.
I would offer I have two bathrooms upstairs. You're more than welcome to shower up here. Of course, me inviting you to shower here sounds awkward and odd. So I'll go to, what were Duthie's examples? Do you remember what he said that was really? Because I remember one of the showers that's around like CTV, like around the morning show. Is it those showers there?
They're right beside the makeup. Yeah. And there's three showers in the woman's bathroom. I don't know if the same is for the men's washroom.
I only know the ones in the women's bathroom. Those are the ones I use.
Yeah. And I've never seen anyone showering in them before. So I think you have the place to yourself.
Yeah.
Which is a positive.
Or a negative. Because also, if no one ever uses these, why is that?
Also a good point.
Yeah.
Could be very questionable. But James Duthie, I don't want to repaint the picture because he tells it so well, but in essence, he had to shower because I think he was playing golf earlier in the day, if I'm correct. And he said a gentleman went into one of the stalls with a bottle of lotion and was in there for a while he showered, while he groomed himself for the night's broadcast, and he was still in the stall. So I'm not going to jump to any conclusions.
Wait, so the guy was in there before.
And after.
And after.
That's how James Duthie paints it on his podcast.
That is creepy.
So
that's really creepy.
Hopefully no one's in the shower stalls.
Yeah.
I have a place to myself. And
I mean, I hate the locker room lingerers. I don't get it.
Yeah.
I have a rule when it comes, like when I, because I don't like to use the gym. I rather just run outside, or I got a mini gym in this building that no one uses, so it feels like it's mine. But when I go in, it's in and out. It's shower quick, and also always the towel. There's nothing worse than the worst thing is the men, and it's older men, they've got the towel around their shoulder.
Yes.
But they don't have it around the waist. And it's like, as much as I don't want to see your shoulders, I don't want to see, you know, that area south of the border.
Yeah.
Cover that up first.
And the towel on the shoulder is a very strange move because it's almost as though you're flaunting, I have a towel, but I don't want to put it around my waist. Oh, I'm going to keep it right here. It'd be one thing if you're walking around nude and you can't find a towel aren't any towels left. And it's like, oh, you just have to make do with the situation. You have no other choice. But no, this is a gentleman saying, I have a towel.
Yeah.
I'm not putting it on.
Oh, no. Like, I have never been like just, I have a rule. Like, I don't want to see other men's genitalia. So because of that, I will try to do my best not to expose mine to everyone else. So it's efficient. It's get in, clean yourself, and get out.
That's a good theory to have.
Well, I wish you the best.
Thank you. Maybe I'll go back to my apartment. Maybe I'll venture. We'll see.
Oh, God. But driving inner city at this time of day?
Well, see, that's the thing.
You got to go to CTV.
A fair amount of time to get here. Yeah. And I was pretty punctual. But as I was driving out, I was like, it's really bad. I don't know if I want to go back. And then north again. So we'll see.
We'll see. Okay. Well, a lot I want to get into. But first, I just want to, you know, for people that don't know, just a little bit of your journey. Because there are not a lot of anchors on sports TV. Between Sportsnet and between TSN, there is, you know, 15, 20. I mean, there's not a lot in the entire population. So I was wondering if you could just a little bit. And we'll start about this. When was the moment you realized you wanted to do this?
Ooh, I was lucky.
And by the way, sorry to interrupt. If you don't have that one specific spark, that one epiphany, that's fine. Even just general, because I hate people putting on the spot. They don't have this specific story.
Well, you know, I knew that I always had a curiosity for people. That's something I think I've had since I was a kid. I'm the middle child in a family of five. So I also felt as though I wanted my voice to be heard because no one listens to you at the dinner table when you're the middle child. And similar to you, I always loved theater and film and just talking to different people. Just had that curiosity. So when I was about 12, 13, I started doing a lot of theater and film. And I asked my mom if I could start doing things in television.
Yeah.
So bless her heart, she would drive me in and out of Mississauga to Toronto often at rush hour. And we'd go to various auditions.
Okay, where in Mississauga? Give me the major intersection.
Lauren Park area?
Yeah. No, but like when you get on the QEW and where?
Oh, Mississauga Road.
Oh, into the city.
Yeah, so your mom loves you. Yourself an hour just to get downtown Toronto.
Yeah.
And at that time, like we didn't use Google Maps. It was always the print off directions from Yahoo. And again, bless my mother's heart, but she's not great with directions, nor am I. So the two of us are reading these Yahoo maps. I'm trying to learn like lines in the backseat of the car. We're trying to find our way through Toronto. So that was a few years, a lot of fun. But again, the industry is what it is.
Yeah.
It was kind of all over the map. And then it wasn't until I was 18 years old and I booked what probably was my first big gig. And that was with the Family Channel as the host of their channel.
Oh.
And a host of a weekly segment. Yeah. So that was a great break because
you need reps. Just get on there, get comfortable.
And, you know, it was national audience, which is great exposure. I was young. And I remember the very first day we did it, that was kind of my aha moment. I was like, if I can do this for the rest of my life and be in broadcasting and talking to different people, I will be very content. So that job, I deferred university acceptances. So I did it right after high school.
Nice.
And I think it was also really helpful because before I dived into university, it gave me a clear idea of what I wanted to do in my future. Because I think a lot of the times people go to university and they're still a little lost. They don't really
know.
People
don't have
any idea. Yeah. They don't know what they want to do.
And people that say they know, usually it changes. I never always trusted the first year person that said, this is exactly what I am going to do.
You
know,
exactly.
Like, all right, calm down a little bit. Things can change.
So I think getting that experience when I was younger was so helpful because it just helped me figure out what I wanted the next few years to look like. So anyways, the journey with Family Channel was about, I guess, 5-6 years, and it was great. We got to travel all across North America, and essentially was interviewing all of the Disney Family Channel celebs. So you're Justin Bieber's, you're Selena Gomez's.
So you interviewed all...
I interviewed the Biebs.
Yeah. How old was the Biebs when you interviewed
He would have probably been 16, 17.
How big was his entourage?
It was unlike anything I'd ever seen before.
Yeah.
He had so much security. Like we had to go up 3 floors and then walk down a floor and go through a few different security checkpoints. And he still had the hair flip because that was when his hair was long and over the eyes. He actually left his cell phone behind in the interview, which my producer was kind enough to give back and not sell on eBay.
Yeah.
Because she could be happily retired.
Yes. Oh, absolutely.
But anyways, so that was Family Channel. That's how I started.
Yeah.
And when I got to university, sports always played a huge part in my life growing up. All my siblings and I played sports. I played lacrosse, McMaster, and I knew I wanted to start moving towards sport, but I didn't necessarily know the right way to go about doing it. So I was getting all these reps with Family Channel, and I wanted to essentially flex my muscles. So then I started doing sports radio, CFMU,
93.3.
McMaster, 93.3, yeah.
Now, you know, you're in the presence of a kind of a celebrity.
I know you are.
The first ever play-by-play for the McMaster football program.
First was ever? Me. Yeah, I did not know that.
The first time we did it, this was like when Ben Chapdelaine was there, and this was even before Jesse Lumsden and during his time. Yep. So for the first 6-7 years, I was the did the play by play.
So do you know Jamie Tennant? Would he have been there?
Jamie was more like the program director.
Okay.
Yeah, the name sounds familiar. I was always like when I was at McMaster, you know, I did a couple radio shows there, but then when I did the games, I never went back to the main office. So it was me and a guy named Dr. Don, who passed away a couple of years ago. And the original person was a guy named Steve Clark,
okay,
who does play by play for minor league hockey. So
awesome.
Yeah.
So you know the basement of CFMU well. Yeah. So that was the perfect place to get all the reps for my sports broadcasting, because as you know, well, you probably had far more listeners than I, but I think my time slot was 8 a.m. on a Monday morning or something. Mm. So it was a great thing if you had double digit listeners. Yeah. Like, we're at 10 today.
We're a 10 share. What does that mean? 10 people.
Yeah, literally 10. So that was fantastic. And then I started doing some work with the CFL and then just started putting together my demo reel, and then went on to work with Maple Leaf Sports and Entertainment. And then it was the dance that I'm sure you've seen so many people do before. You're doing everything and anything. Yeah. So you're jumping to different markets. I worked in production for a little bit. I was in London, Ontario, worked with the Pan Am Games, kind of all over the map. And then graduated McMaster with a communications and theater degree.
Yep.
And then, yeah, a few years of hopping all over the spot. Loved working with MLSE though. That was a really great gig. Worked actually with CFMU for a while as well. Danced around Pan Am Games and then ended up at CBC. That was a great gig, great downtown Toronto with their morning news program. And then from CBC jumped to TSN. So it's not been a linear path by any stretch of the imagination.
It never is.
And that's what I find so interesting about broadcasting, because everyone has such an unusual way of getting to where they are, because it is unorthodox. No one has an ABC journey that's a straight path, which is fascinating too, because my siblings, many of them are in healthcare or other industries where I do step A and then I go do this.
Yeah.
That has never been the case for me.
Oh no. And like just listening to that story, it always reminds me whenever any interns would ask, you know, or any, just anyone, students would ask, how do I break into the business? And it's always the same advice. It's, you know, A, it's always work hard. Be a nice person. And that one is one of the biggest ones. Be a nice person, because you're around people, these people you work with more than your own family. So be a nice person. Show up a couple minutes early. Ask questions, but don't ask too much. But then the biggest one, always say yes, no matter what it is. And some jobs you're not going to like. Hey, can you shot list this? You know, can you go through this B-roll? I remember starting at SportsCenter. Mm-hmm. One of my first things, I had to shot list the B-roll of NASCAR qualifying.
Wow.
And this was just the producers giving the young guy, the intern, okay, let's give him a make work project so they stop bugging me. And then I would do it. I would do a really good job. Like, hey, at 3 hours and 10 minutes, one guy almost crashed. And I was so excited. I gave it to the producer. I look back now like, okay, the moment I turned around, they would just throw it in the garbage.
Yeah, but you're right. And it's so fascinating too how you see people later in your journey, but that remember you from when you were starting. Like I interned at Roger Darren in Maryland back in the day.
Yeah.
Got them coffee every single morning at 4:30 a.m. or whatever it was. And then bumped into Marilyn Dennis again at the CTV Upfronts this year. And we're like, oh, remember 10 years ago? And you go back. Or different people I met while doing some work with the CFL, and then you see them a decade later. So you're right. It's a very small industry, but I think if you raise your hand for all those opportunities. And another thing too, try and make your own opportunities, because a lot of the time there aren't any available opportunities. So you just got to do your own thing. And I just started pitching different projects to people. And that's when I got my hand in production or in writing. And I think...
Which is important. Production which also and is very writing. Important. Oh, writing is... because, you know, everything's going to change. Jobs change. That's technology changes things. But writing is always going
to
be there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So if you get to kind of dip your toe in a few different pools, you just are more... all-around person. And then again, constantly learning too. And that's what I love about being at SportsCenter, because you are with the best in the business. So you're constantly learning and you're watching some of the best in their field and trying to, you know, constantly perfect yours or make it better.
Or steal from them and then call it
your own. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
All right, I'll go back for a second. Favorite play. Do you do your favorite performance, either yourself, big role, small role? Because again, you come from theater, as do I.
I was Zazu in The Lion King in public school.
Yeah.
And it was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
I've got a lovely bunch of coconuts. Yeah, that was a great role. I thoroughly enjoyed that. It was the public school.
Yeah.
What else? Annie was in Annie. Peter Pan.
Who are you in Peter Pan?
I played Wendy in Peter Pan.
Why you bury the lead? You don't say I was in Peter Pan. We need more ego out of you, Lindsay.
It was Zazu was the favorite.
I was Wendy in Peter Pan.
Oh, okay. That's how I should sell it.
You need to do this. It's Wendy. That's one of the critical characters.
I mean, it was still a pretty low budget production, so I don't know how much I can brag here.
Yeah.
But it wasn't like
you
were
the fourth lost boy from the left.
Fair enough. Yeah. You were like the chorus.
Yeah, exactly. And I know there are no small roles.
No.
Except for the chorus. That's a small role.
What about you? What's your favorite?
I remember in actually high school, you know, we did some Shakespeare. I got to play Nick Bottom, which was, that was a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. So in, I was going to say, As You Like, in Midsummer Night's Dream.
Okay.
So I got to play that. That was a lot of fun.
I've never done something Shakespeare-related. I imagine that would be quite a challenge.
It's great. I love Shakespeare. And like I hate to say, like Hamlet is my favorite play.
Okay.
And I know it's like saying, oh, the White Album is my favorite album. You know, it's like, okay.
But it genuinely is.
You're picking
is.
The obvious one. But yes, it is, because as someone with a fear of death, Hamlet's great because it's all so much of it is just about exploring that facet of humanity.
And what's the memorization process like for learning that
a
type
lot.
Of script?
It's just over
repetition
and repetition, repetition. And I forgot, like I used to be able to bang out so many of those soliloquies and things. Now mm-hmm. I can do, you know, very little, you know, it's why wouldst thou be a breeder of sinners? I myself indifferent, honest, yet I could accuse myself of such things that were better. My mother had not bore me. I'm very proud, revengeful, ambitious, with more sins in my back than I have time to act upon.
Oh my gosh. That's ingrained.
Yeah, but that's ingrained. But I used to be able to do so many more. Now just, you know, if you don't study it all the time, it suddenly just leaves your head.
Yeah. That's still pretty impressive.
It's the best I got.
That's extremely impressive.
It's my one Shakespearean parlor trick. About your journey, I bet you get asked all the time. So I want to try to do it in a different way, but just being a woman in the industry, in an industry that, you know, certainly male dominated.
Yep.
Now, the industry, the landscape looks so much different in 2018.
Oh, 100%.
Than when I started 20 years ago in 1998 when I was interning, you know, at the Score and TSN. But did you ever have moments of doubt? Did people ever discourage you from getting into sports? And again, I'm now asking a very specific question, which is, you know, a little bit trickier, but I it's something I never had to deal with. Just as a guy, I never had this, ooh, you want to get in sports? But you're a man and men don't usually go in, you know, that never happened to me. That is a privilege that I have. I'm curious if you ever had that.
I think the discouragement perhaps would have been the lack of opportunities within sports broadcasting.
Yeah.
Because it is such a hyper-competitive industry.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, after I'd worked with the Family Channel, but while I was trying to get into sports more, like, it was a grind. I was working 7 days a week for a few years straight. It felt like it was never ending. And sometimes you don't see the progress and you're just slugging away and you're like, is this ever going to work out? Is this going to have a silver lining? So I think that might have been one of the challenges. And to try and enjoy that journey too, which is hard though, when you're trying to pay rent and buy food and you're driving back and forth. Like I was working with the Marlies and then doing work in London, Ontario, and I was driving back and forth from Toronto to London and I was spending more on gas than I was making.
Yeah, and the 401, that trip from here... again, I can have these conversations with you versus Bob Mackowitz about commuting. Yeah. But yeah, the 401 from Toronto to London stinks.
It's
but,
a grind. So yeah, I think that probably was one of the challenges you go through and just wondering, is this going to work out? Will I be able to, you know, pay my bills and do something I love simultaneously?
Yeah.
I don't know if it was much about being a female in the industry. You always get a few doubters, I think, or people who even ask, like, you work in the sports industry. And like, yeah. Oh, so like, oh. It's always the strangest
the
thing.
The octave. The,
yeah. Oh. Like, interesting. So.
Oh, wow, really? You.
It's becoming more normal, as you say, to see women on TV. And I know we even talked about it on 1050, the first time seeing two females anchor SportsCenter together.
Yeah.
Like, that was huge. And that was something I think that was groundbreaking. And as you say, in the last 10, 20 years, the amount of females we're seeing within the sports industry has grown exponentially.
Yeah.
I think we still have so much more room to grow in seeing women in coaching roles, in mm-hmm. seeing females as analysts or leading a broadcast team.
Yeah.
And I think there's a lot of ground still to be made, but it has definitely come a long way.
Now, let me just say, Christy, come in. Don't worry.
Hey.
Don't worry. Hi. To the podcasters, I warned Lindsay that my girlfriend's twin sister was going to be dropping by. So don't worry. Just come in. Try not to interrupt too much. Lindsay, Christy, Lindsay. All right.
Hello. Nice to meet you.
All right. Now this is horrible pod. There is a lot of work, but when I look at what's been done the last 10 years, I think you'll just keep seeing it growing and growing. And the fact that you're right, there are still positions that still feel odd not to see women within sports media.
Mm-hmm.
Or what I mean is there's still somewhere, if I saw a woman doing play-by-play for one of the lead NFL anchor teams, I'd go, oh, wow, that's that's different.
Mm-hmm.
But I think eventually even that will start to become just normalized, where it's like, oh, okay, there it is. Anyway, back to the game.
Yeah, and I think we even spoke about it a little bit when you see women who are now being hired for some of these professional franchises, Haley Wickenizer being a great example.
Yeah.
It becomes a little bit of a conversation around gender just because so few have trailblazed before her.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, she is simply the best person for the job.
Oh, yeah.
Nothing to do with gender.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
And
I don't think you even saw any articles. I don't think, like, there's always going to be just the stupid people on social media.
Yes.
And I kind of ignore them. But you, like, just everything made sense. Like, when Haley got it, there wasn't anyone going, oh, look at the Leafs, just trying to be progressive.
Exactly.
It was more like, yep, all right, there it is. Okay, moving on with my day.
Yes. And we've started to see a few more females in roles within the NFL and just making that headway. But again, as you say, I think it's going to be a few years until we see more females in those unconventional roles.
Yeah, but that's the right way to put it.
It just takes some time. And I think also women like Haley Wickenizer and those that are trailblazing before them then open up these doors and these opportunities for the next generation, because I think you do have a lot of young girls watching them and now thinking about new career paths that were once before never even a thought in their minds, and you've now planted a seed.
Yeah, and eventually all these unconventional hires will just become conventional, and then that's what's that's what you want to see.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of world sports, we were talking about it today on 1050, and Roberto Osuna, because Osuna sort of came back. He puffed his chest out, saying, "I can't wait till it all gets out there." But basically, what he says is, "Media's lying. And it'll be only I know what happened, and I can't wait for everyone else to know the actual truth."
Did you find the timing interesting of when he decided to speak? Like, this court is set for September 5th. That's next week. And he decides to say something the week prior. That was interesting to me.
Says to me that probably this has been bubbling up inside of him.
Perhaps.
But what I want to talk about is not Osuna, but the coverage of it. Because what's tricky about it is that on the one level, like, we know the statistics. And we know that, and I did a little research on it before the show, that the false claims of domestic abuse, that only represents 4-6% of all the claims in the United States, in England, North America.
Is that it? I knew it was low. I didn't know it was that low.
Now, among famous, the number's a little bit higher. It might even be as high as 8-9% are false claims. Like Chris Hardwick was one that's been proven that's been false. But that also means that 90 to 92% are true. So that's one fact. Mm-hmm. Another fact, he got suspended 75 games. You don't do that unless there's a lot of investigation.
Precisely. That's not a slap on the wrist.
No. Another fact, a lot of teams avoided a 22, 23-year-old closer who's been dominant since he was 20. And then the Blue Jays, and Michael Landsberg brought up this point, I thought it was a good one, they didn't get much back for him.
No.
When you consider, I don't even remember, Brandon Drury, I don't even know who they got.
Yeah.
But, you know, so they wanted to just get rid of him. If I take that entire bag of facts, that's on one level, and all of that says, looks like you're guilty to me. Then there's the other side. The other side is innocent until proven guilty. So how do you take those two different things, all the dispassionate, non-biased facts, just taking the information on one level and the other level, the idea of innocent until proven guilty. How do you have the conversation and find a way to mix those two?
Exactly. And it's a tricky one, right? And I think that's why there was so many raised eyebrows when the Houston Astros decided to take Osuna on. Mm-hmm. This is a team that won the World Series last year.
Yeah.
That has also said they have a zero tolerance policy surrounding domestic abuse. And it has players on the roster like Justin Verlander who have been extremely outspoken
and public
about where they stand on domestic abuse. So what I found so interesting about the entire situation is that do the Astros know something the rest of us don't?
Mm-hmm.
Because this is all going to come out eventually. And everyone will be able to make their judgments.
Yeah.
As Roberto Osuna said, when he was speaking to the media, people can say whatever they want once you know the information or something along those lines. He's like, people can yell slurs at me or whatever they choose to when they know the facts. And yes, you do have to treat someone innocent until proven guilty. No one's saying otherwise. But you also...
But we're not, though.
Like, can't be blind to the entire situation.
Yeah, you can't be blind to the facts. And here's the thing. We're not. Like, just 100%. Or I can't say we.
No, no one's saying...
I am not.
Exactly.
I have said on radio that I didn't want him... No longer with the Jays. By me saying I don't want him with Toronto, I am presenting my bias, which is he is guilty of something and most likely something heinous. And that is not based on emotion. It's based purely on facts. But then that also means I am ignoring innocent until proven guilty. And that is the difficult dance whenever it comes to domestic abuse.
100%. But the Jays also, as you say, they wanted to get rid of him. They did not want to keep him around. Now, the Jays didn't frame it that way. They kind of made it more about a player exchange. But everyone, I think, could see right through that.
Yeah.
You did not want Osuna on your roster anymore.
Yeah.
And even when the Astros acquired Roberto Osuna, again, they tried to make it a little bit about a player thing and shove everything else under the rug. But people saw through that, too. And it was, your focus is on going back and winning another World Series.
Yeah.
You are in a tight dance with the Oakland A's right now.
Mm-hmm.
It's a pennant race that no one really saw coming a few months back.
That's because no one can name a member of the Oakland A's.
Exactly.
And I will not try to out you here. Because by the way, here's my answer. Zero.
Yeah.
That's mine for the number of Oakland A's I can name right now.
I mean, it's a little bit of like a Billy Bean thing going on right now,
right?
There's
Chris Davis. And he spells his first name with a K.
There you go.
There's my list of Oakland A's I can name. That's it. That is it.
I think you probably have a lot of people right there with you. But you're talking about a team also as like a very small budget, yet they're doing incredible things.
Yeah.
Long story short, Houston is trying to get back to the World Series.
Mm-hmm.
I think that is their focus. They are less concerned about what Roberto Osuna did or didn't do. That being said, we're weeks away from potentially finding out some information.
Oh, yeah.
And you're going to have a lot of unhappy fans. But a question here, too, let's say Roberto Osuna is guilty.
Yep.
Do fans get on his back this season and then forget about it, but remember if Houston goes on to win a championship?
They forget. And here's how you know
And do you think the management then of Houston realizes that?
They know it. Urban Meyer suspended 3 games for Ohio State.
3 games.
But then 24 hours later, out of the news. When Osuna went down to Houston, there wasn't a lot of attention to it because he was here in Toronto, in the hinterland of North America. You know, the third or fourth largest city in North America. But he didn't get booed. No one really knew about it. He was out of the news stream until he talked.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise,
and brought it back in.
He brought it back. Otherwise, we don't need to talk. But no. Everyone forgets. And I'm not going morality on my high horse because you can't, it's hard to remember everything and have the same level of emotional fever for every story. If you try to do that, within a week, you'll be burnt out. It's impossible. You'll be in a corner in a ball. Mm-hmm. But as soon as it was in the news, and then it goes away. If he's found guilty, Houston cuts him. They say, we didn't realize it was this bad. We apologize. 3-2-1.
Moving on.
And then it's, hey, it's the ALCS.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's, we're seeing stories like this, but not the same severity as Roberto Osuna, but that are quite quickly being brushed under the rug. I mean, yeah. Take everyone's old Twitter feeds, for example. Coming up. Oh, you said this X many years ago.
Yeah.
And it's kind of, oh, it's a hot topic for 24 hours, and then it's brushed into the rug, and most people don't think about it. Where, as you said, 75 games is a very significant number.
Oh, yeah. I think the Osuna story needs to stay in the news, especially if found guilty, every day, because that is an act. The Twitter guys, when they were 17, and listen, they tweeted vile things, but there's also a part of, it's easier for me to say this because I'm a white male. I don't have a lot of emotional capital in what people say. I have a lot of emotional capital in what you do. Mm-hmm. It's why I always hated the NBA for Donald Sterling staying an owner. Like, even before he got, you know, all the recordings from that crazy mistress came out, I always wanted him gone because there was documented cases of just him with racist practices in terms of buildings that he owned and not renting out to minorities. I'm like, okay, you're actually doing things, so bleep you, you're a horrible racist. These players, what they did, those were bigoted moments, but they were tweets by teenagers that that got unearthed. And on that one, my thought was, I wish he hadn't done it. My bigger issue was, why did you feel so comfortable? What is the environment you live in that you feel comfortable enough to type that? Mm-hmm. That bothered me more than the actual tweets. But again, it's easier for me to have that because I don't experience racism.
And it's interesting you bring up the NBA a bit too, because that's something Stephen A. Smith was recently talking about quite passionately. And that was, is this addressed differently between different sports? Mm-hmm. Does baseball handle it very differently than basketball would, than hockey would, et cetera, et cetera? Now, his point was that he thought if this was within the NBA, the player would have been slammed much harder. Whereas you mentioned with Roberto Osuna, while yes, it's been a story, it hasn't been a huge story. And this is a player that is still currently in games.
Well, I think it's not a huge story because A, in baseball, there are very few celebrities. Also, he's in Toronto, a young guy. So I think that story could fall under the radar. If it was Aaron Judge, every day. And that's the problem. It's not always the crime. It's the criminal, mm-hmm. you know, or it's the person who does it.
The weight that comes along with their name.
It's like, for instance, there have been other teams that have been screwing around with the pressure of their football. But when it's belched in fake crowd noise at home games, I think that is far worse than maybe not a ball being inflated or deflated. But it's Atlanta. No one gives a bleep.
Yeah.
Moving on. Brady, Belichick, New England. Time to bring down.
We're
going to
talk about that for years to come, which is why I think, however, Roberto Osuna and this entire case ends up resolving, it'll be more interesting to see what the Houston Astros do next and how they deal with the situation.
My final thought on it, I hope I'm wrong. I hope we're wrong about Osuna. I want Osuna to be innocent.
I think everyone hopes that.
Yeah, because in the end, I'd rather he's innocent. He never hit a woman. And then we readdress how we in the media cover the story. That's what I'm rooting for.
Absolutely. And if he is innocent and people jumped on his back before something came to light, I think everyone will take full ownership of that. But as you said, I don't think anyone is saying one way or the other. They're just saying there's a lot of red tape around him right now.
Yeah.
And for the Houston Astros to take him at the cost they did while they're going after another World Series, it does paint a certain picture that you can't overlook.
Yeah. I want to talk about chocolate and Tom Cruise with you.
Wow.
Yes.
Okay.
But before we do that, how good are you at math? How's your basic math?
Oh, gosh. I don't know.
Is it good or bad?
Let's say medium.
Okay, medium. Well, then you must hate it. Let's say let's say you've got to order tickets for a sporting event.
Okay.
And you use like Ticketmaster.
Yep.
And you're like, hey, $52, not that bad.
Nope.
But then you get the final bill and it's actually $71. And you wonder, what happened? Oh, wait a minute. They didn't convert it into Canadian dollars. They were a weasel. Well, you know who doesn't do that there, Lindsay? Seat Giant doesn't do that. Seat Giant is our Canadian partner for this show. Concert tickets, sporting event tickets, whatever you need, go to seatgiant.ca. It's Canadian-owned and operated company, and it's all done in Canadian dollars. So whether you're a medium math level like Lindsay or you're a poor level math level like so many other people, you don't have to worry. But it gets better. At the use the discount code at checkout, Bob and Matt. When you do that, you save a little bit of money right off your tickets. We get a small amount, which is good because hosting podcasts, it ain't free. Seatgiant.ca. Discount code Bob and Matt.
Win, win, win.
Didn't see that coming, did you?
No, that was good. I thought you were going to start asking me some multiplication tables. And
you
I was
see?
Like, oh, dear. I can do a percentage, though, pretty well. Like when I'm out with all of my friends at dinner and everyone has to pull out the calculator to figure out the tip.
That's the worst.
That I can do mental math.
Do you ever? Okay, now we're going in a different direction. Like, it amazes me.
How many people can't do a tip?
Yeah.
I know.
It's simple. It's all you do, if it is $173,
take the 10.
That's 17 times 2,
yep.
$34, that's your 20%. There, if you want to give or take money, depending on the service, you're done.
Yes.
You're done.
Thank you. It's so easy.
It is so easy.
But I don't know. I was very bad at calculus, so I'm not in the position to judge.
No, I'm
math
going to
skills.
Judge. No, I'm going to judge because calculus, algebra, those are the hard math. You know when they got the letters involved? Once letters got involved in my math, I'm like, no, I'm out.
Yeah.
I'm not a fan of segregation, obviously, like anyone else, but segregating numbers and letters, I was fine.
They do not belong in the
They state. Do not belong.
And my theory is, well, some people will use calculus for the rest of their lives, and they should.
Good for them.
Their occupation requires it.
Yes.
Everyone needs to know how to figure out a percentage.
Yes.
Doesn't matter what you're going to do, you need to know. So that's a basic skill.
You only need math for two things. At the end of the night at the bar and figuring out yards per carry for the running back.
There you go.
So if it's 17 carries for 120 yards, you know it's a little bit over 6 yards per carry. Boom, we're moving on.
Done.
Yeah.
Although I'm sure bartenders and waitresses like the fact that a lot of people can't do the math because usually you get a few extra dollars.
Hopefully you do.
hopefully it's not the other way around.
Yeah, hopefully it's not the... Yeah, exactly. I went to see Mission Impossible last night.
Nice. I still haven't seen it because everyone I'm asking to go see it with me has already seen it.
Yeah.
I think I'm just going to have to do the solo.
Go on your own.
Yeah, I think
you
I'm going
nights.
To. Oh, I love going to movies by myself. I discovered it a few years ago.
Yeah.
It's the greatest thing.
Okay, now we got to talk about that as well. But well, let's finish off this one. And I was sitting there thinking about it. Tom Cruise has been in my life. I was born in 1975. I'm 43 years old. Tom Cruise has been in my life for pretty much my entire life. Like it goes back to like, you know, Top Gun, you know, Born on the 4th of July, like all the Mission Impossible movies, a great movie a couple of years ago called American Made. He has done so many good movies. And I started thinking about it. You can argue that someone like Daniel Day-Lewis is a better actor, like if it's just from pure acting.
Mm-hmm.
But carrying an action movie is hard to do.
It is.
He's been doing it for over 30 years. And I was thinking, there is not, I realized, there's not an entertainer that has meant more in my life.
Than Tom Cruise.
I was thinking maybe Harrison Ford, because I got Indiana Jones and I got Star Wars, but Harrison Ford hasn't done much recently, you know, not in the last decade. And the last Indiana Jones movie was complete dog shit. And I rarely swear on this, but that movie I could give 1,000 swears. I want to ask you, because I threw it out to you to give you some time. Who is a celebrity that's been in your life? Who has consistently been the one that's entertained you?
It sounds kind of like a lame answer. Well, no, it's not.
No, I gave Tom
I'm going to own this.
Yeah.
Oprah Winfrey.
That's not a lame answer.
No. I think it's perhaps people think it's a default, like, oh, Oprah. Everyone says Oprah. But I truly believe it because she is someone who is always relevant.
Yeah.
And always in the limelight, even when her shows end. Oh, she starts this own network. She does something else. Now she has a line of food I saw last week and she's getting involved in that. She has a podcast I like to listen to. And people think she might run for president in a few years.
Yeah.
Like, this woman's taking over America.
Oprah equals, like, just there's a gravitas with her. Like, you can be watching any award show. Like, I'm an Oscar junkie. The Oscars and the Golden Globes.
I like the Oscars, too.
Are the two I watch. I don't do the music ones because I don't know as much about music. Oprah walks on stage and everyone's like, whoop, it's Oprah.
That's right.
Like, she, and there are very few people, like, actually, Tom Cruise would have that. If he comes out, it's like, whoop. And I mean, Tom Cruise has done some stinkers, but usually when he does a movie, you're guaranteed at the very least it's going to be a competent film. Mm-hmm. But yeah, no, Oprah's a good one.
And I think too, because some people get acknowledgement for reinventing themselves, and you also have to give credit to that. You know, yep. You see the Miley Cyruses, Madonna, various musicians who every 5-10 years are kind of like a different person.
Yeah.
And they stay relevant because of that. But I think more credit has to be given to the people who stay true to themselves and who they are, and people gravitate towards that.
Yeah.
Like, you see the Meryl Streep, the Oprahs, kind of people like that, right? That they're always pretty similar.
They're the blue chip stocks. The U.S. Steel, the IBM, I guess more current one would be like Google. Like, they are the blue chip stocks. Mm-hmm. You know, that every year you're gonna get a return on your investment.
Yeah, they're doing things to keep themselves relevant, sure. Meryl Streep's doing Mamma Mia. She's hitting a new demographic with that. Yeah. Well, pleasing the old.
By the way, no actor is hitting 100%.
No.
No. And by the way, I don't even want them to. I like actors who, you're going to take chances. You're going to do bad movies.
Yeah. How do you bounce back from that? What do you do next?
Yeah.
And with Tom Cruise, I'm pretty sure he still does majority of his stunts. Is that right?
Oh, yeah. There's one stunt, and you'll see it because it's one take. There's a famous scene where he's jumping from one building to the other, and he like broke his ankle.
Jeez.
And he did his own stunt. That's another thing you appreciate. Like, you know, that's him.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to do a reference. You're not going to get
body doubles for him.
Yeah. Oh, no. Like, I don't know how much of the old school James Bond used to watch, but Roger Moore, who was my James Bond when I was a kid, he was the leader in stunt doubles. I felt like more than half the movie wasn't even him.
Who am I even watching right now?
Yeah, oh, yeah. It's like, oh, I got to run in that hover boat. Okay. My body double in it.
Oh, you want to see my face? Anything with my back? Great. Yeah. My body double will do that too.
Yeah.
100%.
The Oprah's a good one. That's a really good choice. I hadn't thought about that. But yeah, she's been there entertaining forever.
And the stunts aren't easy. So we did a little promo for the most recent Mission Impossible with Jay and Dan. And
I saw that.
We had to do a helicopter explosion.
Yeah.
One of the helicopters wasn't working. So originally it was supposed to be me blowing up Jay's helicopter.
Yeah.
But we had helicopter problems, so the entire narrative had to change. Still a lot of fun.
Yeah.
But that was only a small amount of pyro and not that intense, so you only imagine what the real stunts are and the level of detail that goes into that.
When was the first time you went to a movie on your own? Were you at all insecure buying your ticket or even walking up to the movie theater?
Yes. Yeah. I will admit, it was awkward the first time.
Yeah.
Because you're just so used to having someone to talk about the movie, what you're going to see, and also the debrief. There is something really nice about walking out of the movie theater with someone and talking about what you've just seen.
Yeah.
So those are the drawbacks, but there is a long, long list of positives.
Yeah.
You just get whatever snacks you want. There's no judgment.
No judgment.
If you're with a date or something, you don't have to worry about getting the popcorn, the M&Ms all to yourself and a large of each.
Yeah.
Mix them together.
Or if you're with someone and you start looking to see how much the M&Ms and you're like,
can I have more M&Ms?
Wait a minute. Like, no. I just took a scoop. You took a scoop. And then you took two more scoops. No. We are good at tennis. We are volleying back and forth. And now you're silent judging and shaming
them. That's right. And then your subconscious is like, oh, did I just do two handfuls in a row? But you're trying to focus on the movie.
And then it's like, wait a minute, they're going to eat all the M&Ms. And then you're like, okay, I got to keep wolfing.
Yeah, and then you got to go. Or if you have a disagreement about whether there should be butter or not on the popcorn, I'm a big butter person.
This is where you and I differ.
I love my butter.
The butter is goopy and I want to taste the popcorn. Now I'm going to get all that chemical butter and it's just
residue. You also need to get the napkins to put under the bag of butter because I've gotten butter all over my hands and that's an awful situation.
Yeah.
No one's whispering to you in certain parts of the movie and then you can't hear the dialogue and you're like, I don't care what you have to say right now.
Yeah.
I paid my $14 to see the movie. Stop talking to me. And then some people are also very loud eaters. Popcorn is a food that contains a lot of crunch.
Yes, it
is. I don't want to hear you eating in a wonderful part of the film.
Also, don't see A Quiet Place.
Oh, because I've heard
yeah.
people will really jump on you if you're crunching away.
I knew what was going on. So my girlfriend and I you know, like, wait. And there's one moment where there's like a lot of noise, and the two of us are just, you know, just mowing it
now's
back.
Now's the time. Now's
go,
the time.
Go,
eat,
go,
eat,
go.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to stick to movies for a second. I'm totally against anyone who gets nachos, hot dogs, or things like that.
Also,
that stuff
gross.
Stinks.
Gross.
Popcorn, candy, that's it. I will allow for frozen yogurt. I'll allow for that.
Yeah.
That's about it. That's like the only one I'll allow for.
I also like to bring food into the theater, which is probably frowned upon.
No, no,
I don't really know if that's allowed or not.
Not only do I bring it in, girlfriend and I, we bring a bottle of wine.
Wow.
We bring like the, that's where you get the Gatorade bottle. That's enough to bring in a bottle of wine. Yesterday we brought a nice, Cote de Rhone. So that's Grenache, Syrah, Mourvèdre, blend from Southern France, and brought that in. We had that bottle as we were watching Mission Impossible.
I need to take my movie level to a whole new level with the wine. I like that.
Yeah, but good for you. Cause like, I know my girlfriend and her twin who you briefly met, they feel bad when I go to the movies. Like, oh, you're going to be okay going by yourself.
People sympathize for you. You're like, trust me. I prefer this.
I am fine. One final movie thought. Is this weird of me? And I'll explain the reason. I will not talk about a movie, my thoughts, until I'm out of the theater. Not when I'm getting up, not when I'm walking out. And the reason is, when I've seen a movie that I either loved or hated, and I hear other people's opinions, I'm like, shut the bleep up. I don't care about your opinion.
Yes.
So because I don't want to hear other people's opinion about it, then I'm going to act the way I want other people. So I get made fun of. My friends like, what do you think? What do you think? What do you think of the movie?
That's so considerate of you.
I will not talk about the movie until I leave the theater.
That is fantastic movie etiquette.
Yeah.
Everyone should follow that from now on. That's great. A lot of the times I just assume no one else is listening to me, but you're right. If someone overheard me
and
they wanted to see that movie next week or something,
that
could totally ruin the movie.
It could ruin it just if you're all trudging in the theater. I don't care about your opinion.
Yeah.
Especially if the movie that emotionally has hit me, I don't want to hear what you have to say.
That's a great point.
Yes.
I will now keep my opinions to myself.
All right.
But you do have to be careful. Anytime you're talking TV spoilers, movie spoilers, anywhere, you got to give that warning before you dive into that topic.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you know, Bruce Willis was dead in The Sixth Sense. speaking of blockbusters, and if I can give any advice, you know what gets 100% on Rotten Tomatoes? You know what gets 2 thumbs up, 5 stars? Jeff Pollock. Who's Jeff Pollock? He's our lawyer. He's the official lawyer of the Macko and Cause podcast. He's been here for ages. He helped put my will together. Remember earlier I talked about my fear of death?
Yes.
Imagine me having to deal with a last will and testament. He was great. He made it comfortable for me, so my amount of terrors weren't as great as what I expected them to be. And the great thing, it's a small law office, but really personal. Like, he'll call you up when you need help. He'll email you. Hell, he invited me to his house once for a champagne and truffle party.
Wow.
It was awesome.
He's a good friend to have.
He might not do that for you, but at the very least, the service is fantastic. If you need to get a hold of him for any sort of litigation, state stress, corporate, commercial, real estate law, 416-777-0088. 416-777-0088. You can contact him, jeffpollock.com, and that is Jeff with a G. Fully recommend.
I have to give you a round of applause. You've been working these in so seamlessly.
Thank you.
I don't even realize until you're about midway through that I'm like, whoa, wait a second.
You know what? To my mom, who paid for most of my undergrad degree at McMaster for theater, Mom, it's paying off. It is 100%.
Thanks, Mom.
Yeah, exactly.
I like that we're two former Marauders.
Yeah, exactly.
Talking. Do you ever go back to Hamilton, to Mac?
I go back every now and then. Actually, not really to the university.
Okay.
It's been a while since I've been there. I do some stuff for TSN 1150, but that's up on the mountain next to Lime Ridge Mall.
Yeah.
But I remember the last time I went, I was so angry because the whole new student center was done. And again, I'm older than you. When I was at McMaster, there wasn't any new fancy student center. I had to pay for the student center, but I graduated from McMaster in 1998.
So you didn't get to benefit.
No.
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 That's
no.
too bad.
Not at all.
Also, when you talk about the Lime Ridge or 1150 near Lime Ridge Mall, the first time I went there, I didn't have a car, so I had to take a bus to get there. I think I was on the bus that day for about 4 hours to do maybe 10 minutes of radio.
It was
a mission. So that was quite the journey.
And no offense to the Lime Ridge Mall, but it doesn't deserve a 4-hour bus ride. Very few things do. By the way, did you like girlfriend left you chocolates and like all these tea packets and stuff for you?
I was going to say, Amy has a heart of gold.
Yeah.
And I'm sad I didn't get to meet her today.
Yeah.
But anyone who leaves chocolate.
Yeah.
A big fan of them.
Yeah.
Big fan. She seems like a sweetheart.
If we do have time for chocolate rankings, we will. But What do you expect? Because in your job is so much of it, it's about editorializing in sports. What's the lead? What's the big story? Okay, push the story ahead. What are we looking to? We're almost in September. This year, like if we go from now to like if 1 year from now, you have Kawhi Leonard, John Tavares. You've got the most talented Leafs team that I've ever seen.
Yep. Period. It's going to be such a fun year. I'm just saying that now.
You got very little of the Blue Jays, maybe Vlad Guerrero Jr. You're going to have SummerSlam, hell, coming to Toronto next August. But what is going to happen from September to the end of the year? It is going to be nuts. And it's going to be unlike anything this city or this country has ever seen.
Oh, 100%. I'd argue that being a sports fan in Toronto right now is the best it's ever been in history.
Yep.
Just because of the level of talent these teams have and the optimism for what lies ahead. And that's not even talking Kawhi with the Raptors, JT now with the Leafs, but in so many different areas. Like, yes, TFC is having an off year, but last year, historic season, they won the treble. Then in tennis, you have these up-and-comers, Denis Shapovalov, Felix Auger-Aliassime, the Argos last year winning the Grey Cup, like the Marlies coming off their Calder Championship. Like, every single franchise is so fun to watch and are doing unprecedented things. Like the Raptors last year, they had the most number of franchise wins. The Leafs, they had a franchise win high. Like
in points.
It's phenomenal. It's fun to see. But when you talk about what the main story will be, I think it'll be the Leafs.
Oh, it will absolutely be the Leafs. Tavares. The only way it's not... Sorry.
If Kawhi Leonard does something crazy, or there's some sort of drama, or him and Lowry are at heads. I don't think that'll be the scenario. I think the story we're all going to be following is just the production from this young core. I mean, go down the centers for the Leafs. Like, it's phenomenal. Tavares, Austin Matthews, Nazem Kadri. What team?
And by the way, you didn't even rank that in terms of skill.
No, I didn't. Yeah, exactly. I just listed them off three. Tavares. Yeah, it's Matthews, Tavares, Kadri. That's 1-2-3. Yeah. Like, what other team has a 1-2-3 punch like that?
None.
Maybe the Penguins Crosby.
Sorry. Yeah, you know what?
And Malkin and maybe Broussard as
a
three.
I said none way too quickly because Malkin is just a beast.
Yeah, so that three,
yeah,
if Broussard plays well, is semi-comparable, but I still think what the Leafs have is going to be so fun to watch. And also what those centers do for the production for the other guys, like how this can increase the point production of Mitch Marner, what you're going to see from Willie Nylander, if he ever signs.
Oh, they'll sign. He will eventually.
So I just think it's going to be a fantastic year, and fans need to appreciate it because it has been a long time coming.
How infuriated is the rest of Canada going to be with the Leafs coverage? Because here's the thing, you don't have to comment on this because you do TSN, so you're a national show. I'm allowed to. Toronto always is going to get more coverage. In the United States, LeBron gets more coverage than anyone else. The Yankees get more coverage. Like, that's just part of life. So you have that. You have how long it's been since they've won it all, and you've got the most exciting array of talent in Canada of any of the hockey teams. Winnipeg, close second, very close second. Winnipeg fans, they can be upset. The rest of Canada, bleep off. It's about the Maple Leafs.
Yeah, and it's not only the numbers and how much of the country's population resides in Toronto, but I think it's what's on the horizon. You could argue the Vancouver Canucks and the talent they have coming up in the system could be something very interesting in years to come.
Great. We'll cover it when that happens.
When that happens.
Yeah.
But right now, and what the situation is this year, no other team will be as exciting as the Toronto Maple Leafs. And you even rewind a year ago, the Edmonton Oilers, people thought they were Stanley Cup favorites. They were arguably the biggest disappointment of the season. Then you look at the turmoil happening with the Montreal Canadiens, the Ottawa Senators. It's an absolute mess, everything going on with Hoffman and Carlson. You don't want to touch that with a 10-foot pole. It's just a disaster when you talk about it. You almost give yourself a sigh. Last year, covering the Habs games, at the end of the season, it's like, okay.
Just a drudgery to the end of the year. Let's get it over with.
You're just going through.
Yeah.
So I think if you're looking at the team with the most promise and the most excitement, it is the Leafs. And there isn't an argument there. Yes, as you say, the Jets, also so fun to watch. And what they did last year in the playoffs is fantastic. I think they'll make another deep push. But the Leafs...
Toronto's the headline.
It's the headline because it's just so new. And with JT coming in, like, that's such a splash. And there's so many storylines there too, right? He grew up, the leaf sheets and everything.
Oh, yeah.
Some people think maybe it's been repeated too many times.
It has been, but, you know, it's the first time in the NHL. And that's not about the Maple Leafs. That's about the fact that you never have that big name free agent at that age, still near the peak of their powers, moving teams.
That's right.
That never
leaves
happens.
The island and decides to come to Toronto.
It's
it was groundbreaking.
Or
it
it's
was.
Not unprecedented, but it rarely happens. So yeah. That's part of why that got focused.
Which is why I think the Kawhi Leonard was also such a splash, because up until this point, has a player of that magnitude ever come north of the border and committed to a city like Toronto? No. It just hasn't happened.
Nope.
Which, again, maybe it's going to only be 1 year that he's here.
It's going to be a soap opera.
Because he wants to go back. But the 1 year that he is here, you have so much material. How does he play? Does he play more than the handful of games he played last year? Is his health okay? What's the dynamic like amongst the team?
Oh, yeah.
Nick Nurse now in his new season coaching. Again, with the NBA, it's so fascinating, though, because regular season means so little. Gets juicy when the playoffs start.
Yeah, but unlike hockey, NBA embraces soap opera, and the Raptors will be one of the number one. Take LeBron out. The number one soap opera is going to be the Raptors. We're out of time. We can't even rank chocolate.
Can't even rank chocolate.
We'll have to do... Okay, will you do a podcast somewhere down the road?
Yeah, 100%. And then we get to rank chocolate?
Yeah.
Love
yeah. Absolutely. Listen, I'm all for that kind of stuff, but we're 56 minutes in. We're done.
Are we really?
Yeah.
We've been chatting for an hour.
Yeah.
Good.
This has been a blast. Lindsay, thank you so much. Everyone, watch Lindsay tonight on SportsCenter. See if her hair is glistening. See.
I promise I will shower. I promise.
Thank you so much for joining.
Thanks, Kaz.
Thanks for listening to the Macko and Kaz podcast. Remember to subscribe on iTunes or Audioboom. And if you like the podcast, leave a review. If you don't like the podcast, then maybe don't leave a review.